In 2011, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, aka the CDC, embarked on a rather unorthodox mission to educate the masses about disaster preparedness through the lens of a zombie apocalypse. Picture this, a comic book brimming with the undead, a narrative designed not just to thrill, but to teach. It's a world where zombies aren't just brain-eating fiends. They're metaphors for hurricanes, earthquakes, pandemics, you name it. This comic wasn't just a piece of entertainment, it was a survival manual disguised as a horror story. The public ate it up like zombies at a brain buffet. The CDC, known for its stern warnings and clinical advice, suddenly became the cool kid in the room. Their website crashed under the weight of eager clicks as people from all corners of the globe scrambled to download their very own copy. Who knew that preparing for the end of the world would become a global sensation? The comic struck a chord, intertwining fear and fascination with a dash of practical advice, making disaster preparedness unexpectedly trendy. People who wouldn't normally give a second thought to emergency kits and evacuation plans were now discussing them over dinner. The CDC's zombie apocalypse wasn't just a fleeting pop culture fad. It was a masterstroke of public health communication. In a world numbed by endless warnings and guidelines, it took a horde of fictional undead to make us sit up and pay attention to the very real threats lurking around the corner. Today, we dive into this internet curiosity, dissect it, and ask the big question, when will AMC pick this up and make 11 seasons out of it? We're waiting.
Welcome to Zombie Book Club, the only book club where the book was written by a government agency, and I haven't read it. Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm a writer, and when I'm not cursing the engineers at Cub Cadet for making every nut and bolt on their snowblower attachment a different size and impossible to reach with human appendages, I'm writing a book about a truck driver stuck in traffic during a zombie outbreak while he balances his desires to live a pacifist life with his urge to clobber everything in his path with a wrecking bar. A lot like when I try to assemble a snowblower attachment for our Cub Cadet lawnmower.
Is this you trying to get a Cub Cadet sponsorship?
No, I don't want it. Keep your shit, Cub Cadet. But we're John Deere, if you want to talk.
Yeah, Cub Cadet, we spent a lot of money on you and we're disappointed.
Actually, I really like our lawnmower.
Do you?
But like, I hate building shit for it.
And I'm Leah. I'm of the species Homo sapiens. Did you know that, Dan?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow, so am I.
Isn't that great? We are characterized by attributes such as bipedalism, walking on two legs.
I like it.
I have opposable thumbs and supposedly a large brain relative to my body size, but I think I kind of have a small head. So it all balances out. And we're part of the biological order of primates and the family Hominidae. Hominidae. Which also includes our great ape relatives, chimps, bonobos, gorillas, and orangutans. Orangutans. But also, did you know that we share 97% of our genetic material with mice?
Yeah. Did you know that we share 92% of our genetic material with mushrooms?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah. I mean, I made that up just now, but.
Oh.
It is cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is some percentage, though. Yeah, we do have a shockingly high relationship to mushrooms.
Mushy babies. Interesting. Well, that will come into play later. Yeah. Today, we're talking about the Center for Disease Control's Zombie Preparedness Guide.
And we release episodes every 2 weeks on Sundays, regardless of whether or not we post on social media when we do so, like this week, when I was a week late. For letting everybody know that it was uploaded. It was a week,
though. Our episode's always on time, but our time to promote it is often zero. So for those of you who just are here and listening, we appreciate you. I don't even know how you got here unless you're Eric.
Yeah, what's Eric's excuse? Personal life update, Leah.
Yeah, what's going on?
Should I go first?
Of course.
All right, I'll go first. I'm retired.
Retired.
For this year.
Oh,
I wish I could just retire at 40. I should have just stayed in for the 20 years in the army.
Oh my God. No, our whole life would be different. And you'd be more like the person who's clobbering people with a wrecking bar.
Yeah. I'd be so crusty. Yeah. so Yeah, as you could imagine, I got laid off from my seasonal job. I've been talking about it, and it's great, but it's not what I expected it to be because this week was so fucking hard.
I'm sorry.
we got some really messed up snow, like really sticky stuff, and I hadn't yet assembled our snow blower attachment for our riding lawnmower, which costs more than the riding lawnmower, and it was terrible. The design of it. They're like, you need a 5/5 wrench for this one, and a 9/16 and an 11/16 for this one, and a 7/8. Get a 3/4 inch wrench. Now you need a 1/2 inch. And I'm like, just make them all the same size.
Why couldn't we get one that was assembled?
Yeah, that too. I was not predicting the level of assembly that I would have to do. I thought like, oh, I probably got to put like the bottom frame onto the lawn, onto the snowblower attachment. And it's like, no, first of all, you have to modify your lawn tractor entirely. And there are very few instructions about how to do that.
How long did it take you? I know you were gone a long time.
Like 8 solid hours.
But were you even working on? Actually, aren't you still not done?
I'm still not done.
Like, isn't there something else you have to do?
Yeah, I have
like,
to put chains on it. That's the only thing left. Chains on the tires. Yeah, I got to put chains on the tires.
You know what else, though, too? Like, when I saw you testing it around, because it will not work without chains. That's also
not in that snow.
Not in that snow, no. Is that it's very underwhelming for the amount of money we spent. And I'm not going to say how much we spent on this, but I was like, I could have bought a used car, I think. Maybe and a put jalopy.
And then we could have just bolted a regular snowblower to the front of it.
Or the snowplow that's still sitting in somebody's yard you bought but never picked up.
Yeah. I mean, that's all.
That's a whole other story.
Yeah. I'm upset about
it. I'm sorry. I shouldn't bring it up.
So on top of that, you know, we talked about the snow tires. Oh, snow tires for the truck. Oh, my God. So I scheduled with Toyota. We have a Toyota. And I made a schedule online, and then I showed up to have just the old tires taken off, snow tires put on. But the only way that you could schedule it is to schedule it for a tire rotation. They didn't have the options for what I wanted. So I go there. Okay, they didn't schedule it. They did not schedule the appointment because they didn't have a time slot for replacing snow tires, only tire rotations. Any day of the week, you can just walk in, have your tires rotated. But if you want those tires taken off the rims and new tires put on, they can't get to that till next month.
Pretty fucked up. But why does that mean we should get some really hot rims for the tuck?
We should. Drama? I mean, it would save us a lot of drama in the wintertime if we had our snow tires mounted to a different set of rims. And then I could do it in the garage.
Can I get some fun rims for my Elantra too?
Yeah, let's get rims.
I want hot pink.
Yeah, is this a good time to tell everybody who we're sponsored by? And then sign up for our Patreon so we can get sweet rims. We don't have a Patreon yet.
No.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, I don't know.
If people we'll want see. It, you know, only if people want it.
I think people want merch. Let us know if you want merch because I really want a Zombie Book Club t-shirt like stat.
Then also had a situation the other day where like every gas station I went to just didn't work.
Yeah, that's a real thing in Vermont. Not only are there almost zero gas stations and they close ungodly early.
Yeah.
But they often you just don't have them. Gas. Yeah.
They either just don't have gas, the pump, or it seems like they do and the pump just doesn't put anything out. Or you go up and they're like, we're not accepting pay at the pump. Pay inside with cash. And it's like, what the fuck?
Everybody wants cash in Vermont.
So then we went to CVS and I stood in line in between a whole bunch of people that were just chit-chatting around the checkout counter. And I'm like, I just want to leave. I got ice cream. It's melting in my hands. So my question is, 1, is magic real? 2, am I cursed? Because my realization is this is also how my day job goes, driving dump trucks. It's always catching fire. Something's always breaking. It's never a case of like, go show up at the place that gives you the asphalt. Take the asphalt to the paver and pave the fucking road. No, it's like, no, you almost died today. And you're going to almost die again later today. And you're going to do like very little in the way of progress. And then we'll just make that up at the end of the year instead of laying you off on time.
And you know, this is why you're probably okay with a zombie apocalypse versus your day job.
Yeah. Zombies, please end it all.
Well, I mean, if you're already life at risk in your situation, what's going to change?
One good bit of news. Brand new laptop. I'm very excited about this. Though UPS did just deliver it into a fucking snowbank while it was raining and then just left it there. Not even near our house where anybody could just drive up and grab it. But luckily, our nosy neighbor did tell me that there was a package for me sitting in a snowbank and that I should probably go get it before it completely soaked through. And luckily, I did because it was my laptop.
Was that our nosy neighbor that also brings us stuff sometimes?
Yeah. I mean, she's really great. She's very nosy, but also very nice. And it's a mixed bag of emotions.
Overall, I appreciate her.
Yeah, I appreciate her, but also wish she would keep her nose out of our business, but also bring us shit when it's sitting in a snowbank.
She's got a good heart. You know, it's just small town life.
Yeah.
Well,
at least she uses leashes on with her dogs now.
She does. She does. I appreciate that a lot.
I do, too.
You know, thank you for saying that.
She has four golden retrievers. When you see her walking down the road, it's just a flurry of golden fur.
Yeah.
It's just fur for miles. It takes up the whole road.
They're so sweet, though. And our little dog, Ziggy, fucking loves them.
Yeah.
And every time we walk by her yard, he's like, please let me go play. And I was like, but then I got to talk to the neighbor who's nice, but I'm a recluse and I don't want to. As far as my personal life update, Dan, I don't think I'm cursed.
Oh, good.
I don't know that you're cursed either, but I do think magic is real.
Yeah.
We should make a poll.
Friendship is magic.
That's true. My little pony. Anyways, I am not only a Homo sapien, I'm also a mushroom having a human experience. Or, as Terrence McKenna would call it, I'm a stoned ape.
We are stoned apes.
Not right now.
No, not anymore.
But we have been. Yeah. For those of you who've been listening for a while, you probably remember the tales of Jamaica and our beautiful psilocybin fun times. And that happened again last night, thanks to a lovely friend I will not name. Thank you, friend. And the stoned ape theory, Dan, have you heard of it before?
I have.
What is it?
I unfortunately heard about it from Joe Rogan. So why don't you tell me so that I can rewrite all of that information in my brain?
Well, I quickly Googled it, or not Googled it. I quickly put it into ChatGPT. So I'm not sure if that's better or worse than Joe Rogan.
I think it's better.
I don't know. I have some thoughts about ChatGPT later in this episode, actually.
I think ChatGPT is objectively better than Joe Rogan.
You know what? It's not that hard of a thing to be better.
Granted, Joe Rogan is not coming for our jobs.
True. He's just destroying the world. Okay. Anyhow, stoned ape theory suggests that the use of psychedelic substances by early hominids, aka us, contributed to our cognitive evolution. And that's what proposed by the renowned Terrence McKenna. Google him if you don't know him. But this theory is actually not widely accepted by the scientific community, which I think is disappointing because that's what I just like ChatGPT'd like, hey, is the stoned ape theory, does it have any evidence? I know I just tip-tapped the, you can all hear that.
Yeah,
now,
that's Leah table. Typing.
Yeah.
typing on the table.
And like, there is evidence that we did utilize psychedelic substances, but there's no evidence that it had a role in our human evolution specifically. So Dan, what's your take
as
a scientist?
I really like the stoned ape theory. I think it makes a lot of sense as a scientist that I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely a scientist. I think Terrence McKenna was a smart dude. I understand if the scientific community says that, you know, like there's no evidence for this, but how do you go back in time millions of years and give early hominids psychedelics as a control, and then some hominids no psychedelics as control, and then
see what happens,
and then follow scientific method to figure out whether or not this was true or not?
I don't know. I guess I could ask ChatGPT that later too, but supposedly it's not scientifically verified, but there are many things that are not scientifically verified that are still a valid lived experience. We just don't know if this is actually part of human evolution.
Yeah.
What I can say is as part of my own personal evolution, I have a lot to be grateful for psychedelics. They fundamentally changed my life. And every time I have the privilege of doing that, I feel like I'm a better person at the end and a happier person. Yeah.
There's a lot of mushrooms that do a lot of great things for us. And mushrooms have not been very well studied by the scientific community, despite the scientific community's criticism of Terrence McKenna saying that it's not scientifically valid. There's also been not very good studies on a lot of mushrooms. One of those is the Amanita muscaria, also known as the fly agaric. It's the Mario mushroom. You know, the one, red, white spots.
That'd be a great tattoo.
So until like a couple years ago, this mushroom in every foraging guide was labeled poisonous. And to be fair, if you eat it, you'll get very sick.
So it's poisonous, kind of, sometimes.
It requires a very specific type of preparation, which people figured out over thousands of years. But this information was lost to us because of mycophobia, the fear of mushrooms. Mm. People just assume that all mushrooms were bad and from the devil.
Well, you know, if you have a bad trip, yeah. I can see how it gets
The Amanita muscaria, I mean, it's got history all the way back to, like, you know, the beginnings of our known civilization that we have recorded history on, like tens of thousands of years ago, starting in Siberia and then traveling down into India and then making its way to Europe and across the ocean. Mm. And the Norsemen, you know, the Vikings said that this mushroom was a way to talk to the gods.
Correct.
And every culture has figured out some way to make this a safe mushroom to consume. Mm. They've all figured out a very similar way to do it and to maximize its benefits. What I firmly believe to be true is that mushrooms were the first organisms on our planet. We all evolved from mushrooms. Plants evolved from mushrooms, and animals evolved from mushrooms. And mushrooms are more related. Humans are more related to mushrooms than they are related to plants.
Interesting.
And all of us have evolved in over millions and millions of years alongside of each other. And the same way that mushrooms and plants wait for us to die and decay so that they can eat us, I believe that there are, in the same way, plants and mushrooms are like, eat us because we can fix you. And a perfect example of that is the Amanita muscaria. And despite not having a lot of research on that mushroom, one medicine that we use to this day is based on a compound in Amanita muscaria, and it's called benzodiazepam.
Which is actually highly addictive and problematic.
It is highly addictive and problematic because it is an isolated compound of the Amanita muscaria mushroom. And what the Amanita muscaria mushroom has that nobody has really figured out yet is it has other compounds that work with that compound that negate the negative drawbacks of benzos.
That's incredible.
And the thing that benzodiazepam is good for is reducing anxiety and helping you process trauma, insomnia. So as we're growing as people, we have to do all these traumatic things just to survive. Like, we got to go out and like stab a rabbit with a stick. Because we're like, it's the middle of winter. There's nothing, there's no leaves to eat. We got to stab this rabbit. Mm-hmm. You feel bad about stabbing that rabbit. And your whole life, you're just like, I stabbed a rabbit. I can't sleep at night because that rabbit just squealed like a baby. And then the Amanita muscaria is like, eat me. And then you eat the Amanita muscaria and you're like, feel better about that rabbit situation. I can sleep now.
Yeah. I mean, that's psilocybin.
Yeah.
And I know the Amanita muscaria is different than other magic mushrooms. But that is my experience overall with psychedelics, not just mushroom psychedelics. They are, they're healers. I don't really know that it's possible to abuse them. I guess some people could.
Yeah. I mean, well, the way I look at it, like the reason that Amanita muscaria was considered poisonous is because, you know, like you would, if you consumed an entire bottle of aspirin, you would probably think that aspirin is poisonous. Mm. You'd be like, and if somebody told you, yeah, don't use aspirin. A friend of mine ate an aspirin and had to go to the emergency room and have their stomach evacuated. Mm. And like, how much of an aspirin did he have? A whole one, a whole aspirin. So like, the problem is sometimes dosage. Yeah. There's definitely some very poisonous mushrooms out there, but a lot of them, it's just a matter of dosage.
Honestly, that's so many things that like the health wonks get really up in arms about. And it's like aspartame, for example, you have to consume so much aspartame for it to be a problem. like an ungodly amount that no human being would ever do. No, I don't think you would. I don't know the amount.
Get some Diet Pepsi. We're gonna do this.
And I'm not saying aspartame is nutritionally useful, but I'm just saying it's not gonna poison you.
I think aspartame is medicine.
Sometimes a Diet Coke every once in a while is kind of what I need. But I do want to follow up with this thing about like if plants could talk or if mushrooms could talk, because before we get into the CDC, which might not agree with me about this, I am putting my foot down right now and I am saying mushrooms and plants do talk. Mm. First of all, they communicate with each other. They just have a completely different chemical language than us.
Yeah.
They also use vibration to
communicate. They make music.
They do make music, and tons of indigenous cultures talk about how they talk with plants. That's how ayahuasca was created. Ayahuasca requires two different plants to come together that aren't anywhere near each other in the Amazon forest, chacruna and the ayahuasca vine. And how did ayahuasca, the drink, the medicine, become a thing? According to the Shipibo, they talked to them and said, you should put us together. I have some indigenous friends in my life that I'm grateful for, who I will not name, who have told me stories about one of them who had cancer, who was driving down the road one day and saw a cedar tree. And the cedar tree said to her, if you eat my bark, I'll be healed. She doesn't have cancer anymore. Another person talked about how they were walking in the woods and they saw a blueberry bush. And the blueberry bush said to them, if you give this many of my blueberries every day to your sister who is dying from cancer, she'll be healed. And she was. Mm-hmm. And like, these are things that I realize are very hard to replicate scientifically. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't use modern science for things like cancer. My sister died of cancer and she did all the things that she could. And unfortunately, a plant did not talk to her.
Yeah, no blueberry plant.
But also, to be frank, like sometimes, for one, we're going to die. And sometimes things are too far gone. She had stage 4 cancer when she was diagnosed. And so I don't think there was coming back from that. There was just delaying it. But my point is that plants and mushrooms do talk. It's about whether or not we listen. That's my deep comment for the day.
Yeah. So that's our personal life update. That got deep.
It did.
I do love conversations like Leah, are you gonna let us know what we're talking about today? Because I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, this was actually supposed to be an episode about two things: the Center for Disease Control's Preparedness 101 Zombie Pandemic Guide, and also what's it called, Dan? The something 888.
Oh, the con plan 8888.
Yeah, but then as I was reading the preparedness plan for a zombie pandemic, there's so much to say about it.
Yeah.
So we're doing a whole episode just on this. And we'll do Con Plan 888 another time.
Yeah. And what I found out about Con Plan 8888 is there is also an entire episode's worth of content there.
Yeah. I mean, we can compare Con Plan 888 to this one when we get to it. But anyways, let's start with the basics. What is it? It is the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Center for Disease Control and Prevention's Preparedness 101 Zombie Pandemic. We just call it the CDC.
Yeah. You can Google it, too, and you can see this for free. You can just go get it.
It's available to you. It's an actual comic, a story of a zombie apocalypse. And the point of it is to teach key points on how to be prepared for emergencies, actually of any kind, which I kind of find disappointing. I wish there'd been more specifics for zombie preparedness. But while the guide does use this fictional zombie apocalypse scenario, they say that its main purpose is just to promote general emergency preparedness, and that they realize that like, using fun media is how you get attention. And hey, here I am talking about it. So it's true.
Well, this is also just how I've always approached zombie survival preparedness. Like, you know, we are reasonable human beings. We don't like load up our basement with cans of chickpeas and guns just because we're like, the zombies are coming. No, like we know that zombies are a work of fiction, but it's fun to prepare for real world crises by putting something fun on it, like zombies.
Yeah, zombies are the best. Yeah. Best version of an apocalypse. So let's get into it. It is a story, and I want to talk about the story first because it is a book club.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll get into the part that they care about, the CDC, which is the preparedness guide. And I'm actually going to ask Dan to rate for us how prepared he thinks he is, and we are, not he is, how prepared we are based on their guide.
All right.
We'll see if we can give ourselves a score for that. But first, we got to talk about zombie type.
Oh, good.
They have a very specific zombie type. According to the CDC and the TV that the main characters are watching, they have slow and slurred speech.
Mm.
They're a slow zombie, but they have, quote, violent tendencies. There were no images of anybody biting anybody, just that they were violent.
Sounds like my uncle.
I'm assuming when he's intoxicated.
I mean, is there any other way?
I don't know. I don't know your uncle well
enough
for
which
one. You've
met my family.
I know. I just don't know which one, but I'll try and figure it out over Christmas. The virus is called Z5N1 or Z5N1 for you Americans.
Yeah, it's definitely Z.
No, Z. And there were some interesting statistics that they shared. One zombie can infect 21 others, resulting in very rapid spread.
That is an interesting little factoid. That, you know, when we look at zombie media, they rarely ever discuss like how infectious one zombie can. It's just kind of assumed
that it's highly infectious. Yeah. Well, they show us it's highly infectious by like people eating each other quickly. And then the other thing that's interesting is, especially because we just talked about Kingdom on the last episode, is that these zombies also don't like daylight.
Oh.
Yeah. It's two in a row. Who knew?
Two in a row. We got a twofer.
Yeah. They like nighttime. They're not like hiding from the daylight. They're just kind of dormant.
Solar powered. Like. Yeah.
Yeah. They're charging.
Yeah. They're charging themselves.
Charging overnight. So here's the synopsis. It's set in Raleigh, North Carolina.
That makes sense.
The Southeast. And the main character is Todd. Todd is in a relationship with Julie. It's not determined what kind, but they clearly live together and sleep together.
Is it an open relationship?
Maybe.
Okay.
We can make anything we want out of this because they don't tell us. They also have a very cute golden retriever-esque looking dog. Shout out to our neighbor named Max. And it starts out with them watching a scary movie. And when they're watching the scary movie is one of the few times Julie has any dialogue because she's scared of the scary movie and wants to pick the movie next time. Oh. This is important to remember. Because she's going to have bad dreams. Okay. Yeah. After the scary movie, Julie's really tired. She goes to bed, but Todd stays up and he decides to watch the news. And the news is starting to discuss this strange virus outbreak of these slow, slurry speech zombies that are violent. And as he's watching it, he's just kind of like, oh, that's really weird. Maybe I should start like preparing. I don't want to wake Julie. It doesn't seem that bad yet.
But yeah, then I wouldn't wake you
up. He hears shuffling
either.
At the door and it's his neighbor, his elderly neighbor, Mrs. Clements. And she's a zombie. And the best image of this comic strip is Todd shoving Mrs. Clements down the stairs. And she's just like flying down the stairs. And then he slams the door shut and he has like a slam sound.
Oh, Mrs. Clements.
So this is when he starts to take it seriously, right? Because zombie's literally coming to his front door. So he wakes Julie up. He tells her what's going on. He's like, we've got to create an emergency preparedness kit. I think he heard something on the TV about it. Okay. And they pointed out that they need to include items for their dog, Max, which was so sweet.
Yeah. Nobody ever thinks about the dogs.
Yeah. You got to have all of the living creatures in your life. And then they go down to the basement to see what they've got. And he discovers that his dad's old hand crank radio is there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lucky.
Very important. Then they kind of like break from Todd, Julie and Max. And they show us a bunch of CDC doctors that are like, oh, my God, there's an outbreak in the Southeast. And that's these zombies. And we learn about the 1 in 21 statistic, all these things. They're really close to having a vaccine, but not close enough. It's going to take a week, which is a very short amount of time.
Yeah. I'm gonna point out. Look, we went through COVID.
Yeah.
We know it doesn't take a week.
No. But they're going to get it to a week, but they're concerned that that won't be quick enough because of how fast this spreads. They think the Southeast is going to be overrun.
First, I want to back up. The CDC is really blowing themselves up here, thinking that they can facilitate a virus vaccine
in a week.
They're like, is this propaganda for the CDC?
Maybe, because it helps like for all the people who are afraid of vaccines and how quickly we got them out. They're like, oh, you know, you can get them in a week. A year is nothing.
If everybody just stays out of the CDC's way, they could have cured COVID in a week.
Who knows? But then they break back to Todd, Julie, and Max. They have been sheltering in place per the radio and the news they've been listening to. But now they have run out of food. They have run out of toilet paper. We also know how important toilet paper is. I'm adding that for color. That's actually not a part of it.
I thought that was.
I think there is an image of a toilet paper roll somewhere in there, and I wrote it down because I think it's actually a good idea to have a roll of toilet paper.
Oh yeah,
available.
The emergency roll.
Yeah, like we should have one in each of our cars because you never know.
That's true.
When you're gonna have an emergency.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyways, they realize by watching the news that there are a few community shelters and one of them is close to them. It's the local elementary school. And they're like, okay, we got to get there. And the best thing about this shelter is that it allows animals.
Oh, that's really nice.
So Max can come.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never thought about these things before. So I will say it's already doing a good job because I'm like, oh my God, we have a dog that doesn't like people or other dogs. What are we going to do if we have to go to a community shelter? But anyways, They wait until they think that there's no zombies in the road and they run to their car. But of course, as soon as they get in their car, there's zombies surrounding them. They manage to get away. They arrive at the local shelter right when the car runs out of gas because the gas was on empty.
Yeah.
Some important lessons we're learning here from this comic strip.
That was us on Friday.
Another one of Julie's lines. Why didn't you fill up the gas tank? It was us on Friday.
Or Saturday. Sorry, Saturday.
When they arrive, they have this image of like hundreds and hundreds of people there. It's packed in the gymnasium. And Todd pulls out his crank radio and listens to it and learns that the vaccine is on its way.
That's really good news.
Yeah. They said it was going to take him a week. It's on its way now. It's coming to Raleigh.
How long has it been? Like 20 minutes?
A week.
Right. Yeah. They ran out of food. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was skipping right from him like listening to his crank radio to getting in their car and heading to the shelter.
To the 10 miles.
We've already got one. Yeah, it's been 20 minutes.
Literally flutters out and they barely get into the shelter on time because it's dusk and the zombies are trying to come out again. So they get in. He hears the vaccine's coming, but it's one more day. They just got to survive one more day. But here's the thing. You got a 1 in 20. One zombie makes 21 zombies. Raleigh has become all of the worst versions of hordes we can picture. And nighttime is here. The zombies, I don't know why they hear, they see, whatever. They figure out there's people there and they start to swarm the building and they break through. Oh. And this is when Todd's like, oh, fuck, we don't have an emergency exit plan.
Oh, he didn't make a plan?
No, of how to get out. But here's the worst / best part. When you used to write stories as a little kid for class, what was the classic way to end a story that was just absolutely fucking ludicrous and you couldn't figure a way out of it?
Oh, they all fly away.
That's one. What's that? What else?
Oh, my God. You're not going to suggest that they pulled a Sopranos, did they?
What's a Sopranos?
It was all a dream.
They did.
I used to read Word Up magazine.
Yes, that's what it is. Todd wakes up.
Oh, my God.
Realizes he fell asleep at the couch. He wakes up to a loud crash bang because there's a big thunderstorm outside, an actual possible emergency.
Oh.
Yeah. And he wakes up and he's like, oh, shit. I'm not prepared. But it was all a dream. That's how they get away. And then Julie comes downstairs from hearing the thunder to check on him. And she says, he tells her a dream. And she says, that's why I'll pick the movie next time.
Wow. What a ride.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the whole it was all a dream is, of course, a cop out.
I was so mad.
I think it's even more of a cop out that they didn't have to then survive a flood using the skills that he learned in his dream.
Turns out the thunderstorm was intense, but not so bad, according to the news.
There's no stakes.
No, not really. It's ridiculous. Like when you were sitting on the couch reading McCon Plan 88. And I was like, oh, my fucking God, I cannot believe that they just did this. I was so upset about it. Like, I remember in grade 5, I wrote a story like that. And my teacher was like, you can't do the cop out dream ending. Like, you can't do that. It's not a good ending.
I know it's the 5th grade, but we're going to learn about tropes today. What's a trope? Is that any kind of fish? Shut up, Leah. Listen.
Well, the thing is, the guide does conclude with a list of emergency items to have on hand, which is really cool. And there are many morals of the story for how to be prepared. But we're going to get to that in a minute because I have a lot to say about the racist, capitalist, colonialist, homophobic misogyny of the living dead.
I'm sure
AKA
there's a few
the CDC. I cannot fucking believe, but also can because let's all talk about how this country was formed and continues to be run and structural racism, you know. But I just can't believe they did it at the same time. I feel like they just put this out. It's like 2022 they put it out, or 2023 even. I gotta look and see what year it was. And it was brutal. First of all, there's a ton of sexism. It absolutely does not pass the Bechdel test.
What's the Bechdel test?
You tell us, Dan. What's the Bechdel test?
Oh, the Bechdel test is a wonderful test where we measure the female representation in a form of media.
How do we measure it?
Oh, you know, women's, they gotta talk to each other.
Yeah, at least two of them.
Two of them have with to names. Talk about not a man.
Yep.
They have to have names. They have to be named characters. And
that's it.
That's it.
Yeah. There have to be at least two named women. They have to talk to each other as something other than a dude.
Yeah.
It does not pass. But according to ChatGPT, it does pass because the CDC gets a pass because it's a informational material, not a story. Mm. And I was like, that's not fucking true. There's a story.
Yeah, ChatGPT doesn't know.
There are a few women who do have, they all have names. I'll give them that. But there's no time where two women talk to each other. There's a few women that are at the CDC. The CDC is the best representation that there is. Pretty much every doctor is a person of color. And they're mixed gender. And I will say that also my favorite part of this was that when he wakes Julie up and she comes downstairs in her like sleep t-shirt, her tits are out and down and they're not in a bra. And I appreciate that. You don't see that represented enough in media. Like where do boobs actually sit when not in a bra?
Yeah. Well, this is a measurement that we're making up called droop representation.
Droop presentation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they do. They're not meant to be up on your under your chin all the time. That's what gravity is. But anyhow, I did appreciate that. But the reality is that Julie is just along for the ride. She has almost no fucking dialogue. It's all Todd. It's all Todd.
Yeah, it's all Todd all the time.
Yeah. And like,
it's a Todd show.
It is the Todd show. Honestly, Max had more pictures and meaning, I think, than Julie did, which I don't mind. I like dog representation.
Yeah. You know, there needs to be a measurement for non-human animal representation.
What would it be?
There needs to be two dogs talking to each other about not a human. Dogs have to have names.
That wouldn't be that hard to fulfill. You just have like two dogs barking at each other and you need to know their names. Oh, that's really easy. Their guardians could be like, shut up, whatever the name is. So abuse to dogs. But, you know.
Yeah. Or they could have collars with names on them.
That's true. Ooh, keeping it fun.
My hands are getting loud.
So let's move on to the Vito Russo test.
Yeah, what's that test?
That evaluates LGBTQ plus representation in films using three criteria. It includes a queer character or a trans character. The character is well-developed and integral to the plot beyond their sexual orientation or gender identity. And the character is not portrayed in a manner that reinforces negative stereotypes. This one fails because it's heteronormative as fuck. So heteronormative.
I find this very surprising.
I don't believe you. Yeah, it just was like so boring. Nobody interesting in there. Just like, you know, a white couple that's heterosexual, we presume. I mean, I guess I'm presuming their gender identity and
we could make up our own story about them.
I think they're actually part of like a polyamorous group. It's just those two happen to live together right now.
I think they are each other's beards. They have this whole other life, but you know, they're together. They love each other. They are a family, but you know, they do not have sexual intercourse with each other.
Mm.
It's kind of like James Beard and whoever that steel magnate is from Wisconsin.
Oh, from the show Julia?
From the show Julia. Mm. It's like that. They just travel Europe. They're not traveling right now. They're just kind of like hanging out back home, just like resting up before their next big European backpacking vacation, where they're just going to go off on their own paths and find strange European people to put their genitals together with.
Oh.
And then, you know, at the end of the night, they come together, back together, and they're like, well, let's share our experiences.
They're friends. They have a romance that's not sexual. That's lovely. I can see that. Also, it is the Southeast. And even though it's technically in present day, I can see a world where you might not be out in the Southeast.
Yeah, you definitely have to go to Europe for
that. I mean,
that's why
they go to Europe. Yeah. It wasn't that long ago that I had to pretend I didn't have a girlfriend in Georgia to be able to keep my job. So, yeah, I can see that in North Carolina. I like this story. Race test. The race test is similar to the Bechdel test, but it focuses on the representation of non-white characters. To pass the race test, a movie must have at least two named characters of color who talk to each other about something other than a white character. Again, ChatGPT says this doesn't matter because it's a CDC guide about zombie apocalypses.
Yeah. ChatGPT is the thing that's going to take over all of our jobs. So this is great.
I think it really needs some training, like some anti-oppression, anti-racism training.
Yeah. Who's going to do that?
I don't know. I know a few good trainers if you're interested. ChatGPT, but not me.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah. Can you imagine if that's what we get out of this podcast? I get a job helping train ChatGPT to not be an asshole and not live in the capitalist, colonialist, heteronormative patriarchy.
Yeah, I'm all for
racist
it.
Racist patriarchy. Yeah, why not? But it does pass. Okay, so again, this is an example of the floor and not the ceiling of what's possible to representation. It does pass because in the like two pages of the CDC part of it, like I said, all the doctors are different races and ethnicities. They're men and women, and they're talking about saving all people. But I feel like there's sort of like an implied saving of white people because we care about Todd and Julie. Also, Max. Also, all the zombies were white. Like all of the zombies.
Just like what in The Walking Dead.
Yeah, like what the fuck is that?
You know what? This is why I need to start my my zombie actors guild so that we can have better representation among zombies.
I think it's very important. We've talked about this a few times now. So there are 18 whole pages before you see anybody of color. Again, then it's only a couple pages of doctors. And then the main characters themselves are a white heterosexual couple with the dude as the protagonist who basically says everything and the woman is one dimensional, like me in our first episode. So... except for that she finds the scary movie scary and that she doesn't want to watch him anymore. That's all we know about Julie.
Yeah, that's the only color that we get
for
her character.
So I'm really disappointed in the CDC for publishing this. I'm going to look up when it was published because I'm making that up right now. But I'm curious, Dan, do you think that they should have cared a little bit more or not about representation and making this zombie preparedness 101 guide?
I think there's a lot of things that they should have cared about more. One of them is a satisfying ending. Because first of all, you're not going to get any sequels when you end it like that. But I've said it before. I think that when you think more deeply about people other than the heteronormative white character that is your lead, you get a better story. You get a more fleshed out story. You have the opportunity to tell more stories within that story, which makes it better. And I know that they're just trying to like appeal to the young people and like have a fun way to tell people be prepared for disaster situations. That doesn't mean that they can't make it good too.
I agree. The story, I mean, there were some entertaining parts of the story,
yeah,
but it could have been a lot better. It could have had a longer representation. I'm completely wrong about when it was made. I heard about it in 2023. It was made in 2011.
Wow.
Yeah. Very incorrect. 12 years ago. But I still think the exact same critiques apply in 2011. Like, when did Walking Dead come out?
2010. I mean, the show.
And it already had, I mean, it had some issues in the beginning, but it already had more representation than the fucking CDC.
Yeah.
The government that's supposed to be caring about this shit, but we all know doesn't, loves keeping the status quo.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing that now. The government loves the status quo. And wants to bring the status quo back to an earlier status quo in some cases.
Yeah.
They don't want us thinking about big things.
I can imagine that they could make the argument like, oh, you know, like most people are going to read this are white people and they'll be too freaked out if there is a queer person in it or a black person. God forbid. Which is like just like the show Julia.
They might just throw it right out the window.
Yeah. We're watching the show called Julia on Max. Highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Julia Child, and there was this one moment that was really powerful. There's a black female producer, and she makes this like groundbreaking show called Women Talking to Women. It's a pilot, whatever. And the host of the show is a black woman, and the guy who runs the, what is it called? The TV studio?
Yeah,
TV
it's like a channel, local affiliate.
Whatever. Yeah. Says to her, he loves it. It's amazing. It's groundbreaking. It's ahead of his time, but it's too far out of his time. And then he says, because I thought about it and my wife wouldn't watch that host. Obviously, this guy's a white dude. And like that is racism.
Yeah. And he's acknowledging that this is where the future is, but is unwilling to take that step.
Yeah. Doesn't want to upset his wife.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
I think he's using his wife as an excuse. He doesn't want to upset the people above him, the people who watch the station. He doesn't want to be held personally responsible for going too far into the future.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about pushing for change or like critiquing these things. I think it's really easy to critique and like see racism elsewhere, be like, oh, well, that's why it is this way. And those people are the problem. But we need to all do a much better job of being like, wait, how am I perpetuating it? And that's an example of where I really think he thought that he was being progressive. But he just like, you know,
I think he's trying to be safe. And he was just kind of going along with what was the societal status quo. And it was, this was before the civil rights movement. This is when the civil rights movement was taking.
It's the 60s.
Yeah. Well, it's building momentum at this point. It's not reached the 1968 peak.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, it's a great
where we solved
show.
All civil rights problems.
Yeah. Everything was perfect after 1968.
We fixed the South.
That's a whole other podcast. But I will say that I appreciate them pointing out that Boston, which is not that far from us, is an extremely segregated city still to this day in many ways. But yeah, it was a good example of what I think somebody might try and say about this. But at the end of the day, it wasn't accessible. And there are plenty of Black zombie authors and readers and other
Sylvester Barzi.
Yeah. I'm really excited to read his book.
Yeah. I'm now that Octavia I'm off, Butler. I'm going to have time. I'm going to have time to read with my eyes.
Yeah. Sylvester, if you happen to randomly listening to this, the only reason we haven't read your book yet is because Dan drives for a living.
Yeah.
And he couldn't listen to it. So
yeah, I've tried to read and drive at the same time. And those lives will never be the same again.
Yeah, we don't do that. We don't do that.
I have a theory, and I'd be interested to hear other people's ideas on this about, because you were talking about representation in zombies. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if producers and filmmakers, while wanting to portray positive images of race in their characters that they have on screen, I wonder if they worry about having Black zombies because it sends like a message of like, these are inhuman things that it's okay to be violent and destructive.
That's interesting.
And because like we lived in the South, we know that the zombie population of Georgia and Virginia is not 99% white like it is in The Walking Dead. But I wonder if there was a conversation about that and they're like, we don't really want like a bunch of white people killing Black zombies by the handful.
That's a really good point, Dan. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. I don't think I have an answer to that because I'm not a Black person. And I think probably folks would have different like perceptions about it, but I think that that's very thoughtful. That's what I'll say.
It's something to think about.
Yeah. I think the key thing would be like, don't have it be majority people of color and don't have it be the first people that are killed, you know, because of the whole trope of like, if you're in a horror movie and you're the Black person, you're going to die first.
Yeah. There's a book that I read recently, and for the most part, the zombies kind of went without full description. Like they didn't specify like their skin color or their hairstyle. Mm. It was just like this zombie over here. There's a zombie over there. They'd smash their heads in. Mm. And there was one time when they specified that the zombie had dark skin and dreadlocks. And it kind of upset me because it was the only time that it was ever brought up.
Oh, God.
And yeah, exactly. And like, was that the author's intention? I don't know. But I do know that I remembered it.
Well, I think that I doubt it was intentional because most racism is unconscious.
That's true.
Because these are things that we are taught and we grow up in. And if we don't ever question them or like learn how to actively question them for the rest of our lives as white people, basically, you might not see it. Because even for me, just this moment ago, when I was talking about the episode in Julia, I specified the race of the woman. And then I had to remember that I needed to specify the race of the producer guy who runs the studio.
Yeah.
And that's because like whiteness is seen as the default and everything else is something else. And actually think about it. It's like white and people of color. It's a false dichotomy.
Yeah.
Great song by Metric. Complete sidebar. Listen to it. False dichotomy by Metric. Please sponsor me, Metric. Oh my God. Just send me merch.
Leo will work for Metric shirts.
I just want to see Emily Haynes again.
So, you know, it's interesting how we started talking about, zombie preparedness via the CDC, but our conversations always lean this way.
I mean, it's what I think about most of the time.
Yeah, but it's also like really apt criticism of a lot of these things is like whether they, you know, like the TV producer and Julia avoid these topics out of fear, or if they just don't think about it and think of white people as the default.
Yeah, or don't think about, like, it doesn't occur to them that there's no real characters of substance that are women. It's the same thing. It's usually not, I really believe it's usually not intentional. It's just the way that we're raised. And unless you actively interrogate it, you're just going to keep perpetuating it. On to another topic, Dan. Yeah. Are you ready to test your preparedness according to Zombie Preparedness 101? Yeah. And I say but it's ours.
Because I basically wrote the book on this.
Oh, all right. You're confident, so, huh?
CDC, you can contact me at my email address if you hear these answers.
Okay. There are seven categories or seven elements of preparedness that this guide helps us think through. And we're going to literally score ourselves because maybe we'll want to work on it and improve our score. And if you hear the tippy tappies, our dogs have finally finished eating their dentist sticks on our back.
And they want more.
Yeah. So I'm going to go through each one of these and I'm going to ask you to rate what you think our level of preparedness is.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10 Zeds, 10 Zeds being most prepared for the zombie apocalypse.
Okay.
Got it?
I'm ready.
Okay. The first one is a long one because there's an actual list on the zombie preparedness guide, which is the emergency kit. Mm. So I'm going to ask you to rate how prepared you think we are before I read the list to you.
Oh, like a before and after.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to give us a 5 because we do have multiple first aid kits. We have emergency sources of light, small emergency sources of heat that will keep us from dying. We have cold and wet weather gear. We have tools. For doing things, and we have a home to shelter inside of.
So a 5 out of 10 Zeds.
5 out of 10 Zeds.
Right in the middle. Yeah. What do you think we're missing?
Oh.
Just give me like the top 3 things you think we're missing.
A stable food supply of more than a week. Mm-hmm.
You learned that from the preparedness guide story for more than a week.
You know what? I did, but also... Also, I already it's know working. That you need food to survive.
Yeah.
we don't have any water stored other than like 2 gallons that I distilled.
distilled water.
Yeah. We don't have proper water purification, except for my water distiller. That would purify most things.
Interesting.
It does have actually a activated carbon filter in it.
That's cool.
Also, we have an activated carbon filter for our shower head, so we could break that up.
Drink out of the shower head.
We do have extra fuel on hand for our generator.
Mm-hmm.
We have an emergency radio, but it does not have functional batteries. I bought AA batteries from Amazon. They are called, the brand is called Power Owl, and they are anything but power. They are all owl.
Sounds like we should have gotten the Energizer Bunny ones.
Yeah. I like Duracell.
So the other thing you didn't mention is preparedness for our animal friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do have a bag of disgusting dog food.
Ugh. I mean, we could eat that too if we're really desperate.
Yeah. But they would all, well, they have a week's worth of water between them.
True.
But we would have to find more water for all of us.
Yes. We probably have to increase the list. So I'm going to read you what they say we need.
Okay.
And folks, you should pull a pen and paper and write this down for yourself or just go to the website. We're going to put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Show
or notes. Open up a Google Sheets document.
Yeah.
That's
who
what
uses
I would do.
Pen and paper anymore? Yeah. So first of all, you need water, 1 gallon per person per day. Doesn't say how many days.
Just per day.
Just 1 gallon per day per person.
Yeah.
So forever. That'd be 4 gallons. Well, their dogs don't need a gallon. So I guess like 3 gallons a day would be plenty.
They need like 2 gallons a week. No,
yeah,
3 gallons
little.
A week. Yeah.
They're little buddies. Food, non-perishable and easy to repair items, minimum 3-day supply.
Oh, we got that.
We do. Oh, God. It's so boring. And we lost power over the winter. It was like the most boring food experience of my life. Flashlight.
We have flashlights.
We do.
And a lantern.
Battery powered or hand crank radio. I think a hand crank radio is actually what we should get.
We should.
It would keep working.
I've got a handheld CB radio, but it's also a national weather alert radio.
That's true.
But it needs batteries that work.
Damn batteries. They apparently want us to have an NOAA weather radio if possible. Is that what you have?
Yeah.
Interesting. Extra batteries.
I've got so many batteries. They're all Power Owl, and they all suck.
Oh, that sucks. First aid kit, including a whistle. I would never have thought of a whistle.
I don't think it has a whistle, but I mean, I'd have to check through it, but we have 3 first aid kits.
Yeah, one of them was from a summer camp I ran a long time ago, and I never had to use, thank God. Maybe I used like a bandage once. antibiotic ointment, bandages, face masks, gloves, and a reference book. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. You know, I listen to a podcast called The Casual Preppers every now and then, and they are always advertising this Prepper's Medical Handbook. And they say that it's like the most comprehensive medical handbook that a non-professional medical person could ever use. One of the hosts is a medical professional and knows what he's talking about medical-wise. I've always wanted to get this book. Maybe we can convince them to sponsor us so that we can...
We should!
We can buy some dope rims for our car.
I was going to say just maybe pay for the cost of the podcast. But,
that too.
this is our hobby. We don't mind. Sanitation. Personal hygiene items and bleach. I really don't like that this one in particular, they don't give us some specific examples. Because, like, I think this is one that should say things like toilet paper, tampons or pads, baby wipes. Like, give us something specific because I guarantee I would not think about things like a tampon. And then, well, actually, that's not true. I did think of things like the tampon because of the Amazon.
Yeah.
But they're not in our kit. That's for sure.
There might be, there's a lot of little things like that that are in my first aid kit.
Really?
But I'd have to look at it.
That's so nice.
And also we do have a lot of stuff on hand.
Yes.
In our house.
I do have those things.
Yeah.
Copies of personal documents. This is also one I didn't think about.
Yeah. That's something that nobody thinks about is like, you want to have your personal documents like passports, birth certificates and stuff. You want it to be together that you could just grab if you needed to leave, like in a binder, in a folder or a binder. You also want to store that in like a fireproof safe.
Which we have. I was actually thinking about that we do have a portable safe and some of those things are in there, but others are not.
Yeah,
like you need to just grab the safe and go. Your insurance policies as well. But then I was like, do you really? Because either we're in a world where we have internet or we're in a world where we don't and the world is fucking over.
Yeah.
So at that point, I don't know if
our house got flooded out, right?
Yeah.
And we had to go to an emergency shelter, we might be spending our time at that emergency shelter talking to FEMA and also calling our insurance providers.
Yeah.
And not having that information would make things very difficult.
That's true.
And we might not have access to internet because we live in Vermont. It snowed and we didn't have internet or power for 3 days last year.
Yeah, that sucks so bad. And we're still not totally prepared. Medications. It's interesting. They want you to have a 3-day supply of food. 1 gallon per day per person for water, but they don't specify how many days, but they want you to have 7-day supply of medication.
Well, I think medication is going to be harder to get.
Yeah. Hard now.
Yeah. Like if a disaster happens and you have 1 day of medication left, you're kind of fucked because your doctor's not going to be able to write a prescription. Even if they're going to, you're not going to be able to fulfill that prescription unless you go significantly far away where the disaster is not affecting.
Yeah, I was actually talking to a friend about this, about how like they really should have it so we can have larger and longer supplies of medicine and not do this whole month to month or once every 3 months thing. Like if you're gonna be on something for the rest of your life, you should be able to have access to like a large amount just because shit can fucking happen.
Yeah.
You need to have, it's life-saving. Cell phone with charger.
Yeah.
Family disaster plan, family and emergency contact information. Extra cash. We were just talking about this last night, actually. I was like, we need cash on hand.
We did, but
for different reasons.
You were high and you just said, we should carry around money. I'm like, why? And you were like, I don't know, like maybe the kid who comes by to like watch our dogs might want money.
Yeah.
We might want to give money to the person at CVS.
People like cash in Vermont. So I think we should have some more on hand. But apparently
I didn't actually know what you were talking about at the time. Is what I'm saying.
Oh, I told you, I went on a whole rant about how we've been resisting the culture of Vermont that's cash based and like that we should just accept it because we always need it.
True. Yeah, you're right.
Because also like fun fact of Vermont is if you want to tip somebody, a lot of places that would like have the tipping option electronically don't.
Yeah.
So then you're fucked. But I also understand why they want to be tipped electronically.
On having cash on hand, it is widely accepted that one of the best survival items you can have is an extra $1,000 cash that you just have for emergencies. And it sounds like something that's very hard to do, especially if you don't make a lot of money, but it's something that like every month, like just put away like $20 until you have $1,000. And especially among the zombie crowd, they're like, the money's going to be worthless when the zombies come.
But not right away.
I don't need that. I need guns and bullets. But People don't think about the immediate 24 hours after a crisis happens. And even if the value of the dollar has dropped off the map because everything is gone that we know of, it's going to take a long time for other people to realize that. And if it's a matter of like getting a water bottle or an extra day's worth of food or a few cans of gas, you know, if you have an extra $1,000, you're going to be in such a better position than people who don't.
That's true. I agree. You should have cash on hand. Also an emergency blanket, extra clothes, a sleeping bag for each person, and physical maps of the area? Physical ones.
Yeah.
The last time I had a physical map was when I was driving between Canada and Georgia all the time because it was a long trip. And once I made the mistake of using my very old cell phone because it's 2009, 2010, I think to talk to you. And I had a $1,000 phone bill.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I remember that.
Because it was that kind of era.
You're like, I'll put it on my credit card.
I didn't have a choice at the time, but like that was what it was. But my point is like, because things like, I don't think Google Calendar was really a thing. There was MapQuest. You could like pre-print it out. Yeah. So I had a map of the Northeast that I would follow to get back and forth before I memorized it and we'll never need it again.
Yeah.
But that's the last time I've had a map. My grandparents had a really cool like Atlas map that you would open up different pages and you'd like find the quadrant for how to find things. And I think we need something like that.
We do. We do have that.
We do?
We have a full United States Atlas, road Atlas.
Wow. Is that because of I'm a truck driver? Truck driver job. That's really cool.
Yeah. When I first started as a truck driver, I actually got a whole, I paid for it, but I bought a whole duffel bag worth of stuff that you need to be a truck driver. Mm. And one of those things was a giant laminated Rand McNally Atlas.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. And you know, it has the whole country and all the big roads, but also it has all of states and like different sections of each state.
That is very cool. While you said that, I just had this wild art vision where I'm going to do a sculpture of Atlas and then do like a mandala made out of maps.
Atlas is Leah's unlost horse.
Yes. Yeah. That's where my mind went. I pictured
Atlas was a very good boy.
He was the best.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of best boys in my life.
Doing a lot better on this list than I thought we were.
Yeah. Maybe you're going to go up the scale. So there's a few more.
Okay.
Specific medical supplies that you might have. Like I would need glasses and contact lenses. This is something I worry about a lot in the apocalypse is not being able to see and or just not having access to contacts because I hate wearing glasses so much.
Yeah. I made the mistake once of playing Fallout 3 with the drawback of being nearsighted. thinking that my character, when reaching the age of 18 years old and decides to leave the vault and go into the wasteland, would have a pair of glasses.
They don't.
And they didn't. And immediately after leaving the vault, I'm like, I can't see shit. So I wandered around and I eventually just, you know, after a whole bunch of terrifying incidents with monsters and raiders and bandits, I stumbled across an old woman who was wearing glasses and I killed her. And I stole her glasses.
Wow.
And that's, I want, a lot of people.
The prescription is right.
A lot of people that play Fallout, they're like, I want to play as myself. I want to do it as legit as possible. And I want to try to be a good person. I went 5 minutes before I killed an old woman and stole her glasses.
This is definitely your shadow side coming out. Not the pacifist side of you. Baby supplies. So we don't need those. Games and activities for children. Don't need those, but we need them for ourselves.
Yeah, I've got an Oculus.
Pet supplies, collar, leash, ID carrier, food, and bowls. Honestly, we do need to have a good...
Oh, also we got Battleship.
We do have Battleship, which didn't you beat me?
Yes, yeah. Every time.
We played once. So every time. Two-way radios, an extra set of car keys and house keys, and what's not on here is a vibrator.
It's not on there. You're right.
Also a good smelling scent spray.
Yeah. See our episode about our Amazon survival guide for more information about other things you'll need that are not on this list.
Yes. But this is a pretty good list. So after having read through that, what would you give us for Zeds?
Oh, it's a lot higher. I'd say like an 8. Hmm. We had pretty much all of those things. We have all the things for our immediate 1 week survival, I feel like. There's a few things that we didn't.
Water is a key one. We don't have water.
We have some water, but you know what? We also live in Vermont.
True.
And we have the means to distill the water.
And I actually do have a water filter from camping out in the garage. Yeah. I'd have to probably fix it because it's been sitting there for so long, but I know it still works.
Get the cow.
Yeah. Well, mostly you'd fix it because you're good at that. All right. Well, 8 out of 10 Zeds is not bad. I'd probably give us a 7, but I'll stick with an 8. I like it. Let's see. Number 2, make a family emergency plan. Establish meeting points and communication methods. Identify evacuation routes and emergency contacts. How many Zeds of preparedness do you think we have and why?
Okay, so we do have an emergency plan. We won't tell you guys what it is. So we don't want you showing up at our emergency evacuation zones.
Well, we have 3 locations. One of them is our house. The other 2 we're not going to share.
Yeah. What are the other ones?
But we need to have a plan for communication.
Yeah, I have 1 CB radio, but we don't have like 2-way radios. We have our phones and that's about it.
Yeah.
One of our evacuation zones is a communication area because there is a place that we said that we would leave a note.
Yes.
If we went to it.
Yes.
So that is communication. We should
leave a note at any of the places.
Yes.
If we leave.
So that's all we got. We need more radios.
Yeah.
We need long distance radios. So maybe we need some handheld shortwave radios.
Yeah. I mean, they do say that 2-way, that was on the list. 2-way.
Yeah. Yeah, but we need some range. We need some range where we live because there's a lot of mountains.
Yes.
So there's actually a brand. I think it's called Baofeng. They make a really good kind of like an open source radio that basically works on shortwave. We could set it up for GRMS radio. We could do shortwave. We can do anything we want on it. They're like, there's no rules. Just do what you want. Mm. This is from China. We don't give a shit about the FCC.
Do we have evacuation routes? I don't know how you say it. And emergency contact. I mean, we have emergency contact and I have numbers in my phone and you have my family's numbers in your phone. Yeah. But if we don't have our phones, we don't have them. We should probably write them out and put them with all of our other documents.
Yeah, we should put our contacts in our documents.
Yeah. And as far as evacuation goes, I think it would depend on what's happening. And honestly, where we're positioned based on the flooding that happened this year, yeah. I think that I'd probably choose to stay here unless our house slides
down the mountain.
I had that nightmare. Yeah.
Then we just ride it to the bottom. We go into the garage, we grab a kayak.
Yeah.
And we slide down the mountain.
I think actually a key thing to remember is evacuation routes inside of the house. This is a thing I used to think about a lot as a kid. I was a little bit neglected as a kid. My dad was a saxophone player. And
you know how that is.
When I was super little, they would take me to his gigs every weekend. And then when I was like 10, they were like, you're fine alone. And you're fine alone in the big house in the dark. And which I was like, I could take care of myself, but it was really scary because I lived in the middle of fucking nowhere. And I would just sit in my house alone, by the way, without television, without cell phones, no distractions, just sit in the basement. Fucking dark in the basement because that's where my bedroom was. And I would think about how far away all of my different neighbors were, all of them at least a 5-minute walk away. And like, if an intruder came in through my window versus through the side door, like how I would get out. And I would like rehearse escape scenarios all the time. And then like what I would do if I got to my neighbor's house that was 5 minutes away and they weren't there either. Like I had elaborate plans. I don't have that here. Maybe I'm less insecure than I was as a 10-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, we're a lot more capable than we were when we were 10 years old.
True.
Yeah. I was also a latchkey child. First time I was left home alone, I was 7.
Damn.
And I remember it was a thunderstorm. My parents went to the store real quick to get some stuff. Lightning struck and the phone rang, you know, like a landline telephone because we're old. and the phone rang and I went to answer it and no one was there. it turns out it's just because lightning struck and it caused the phone to ring.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. But it scared the shit out of me. I'm like, ghosts are calling me.
It's the beginning of Scream.
And it kept ringing. Mm. Like I'd hang it up. I'd answer it and be like, hello. And it's like, beep. And like, nobody's there. And I hung it up. And then all of a sudden it'd be like, ring, 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 ring.
That is terrifying. That would freak me out too. Yeah. Phones ringing when my parents weren't home also scared me. This is before you and I were talking to each other.
Yeah.
And I had like used the phone as a social tool.
Okay. And that's why I am the way I am now.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
How many Zeds would you give us for having a family emergency plan? establishing meeting points, communication methods, evacuation routes, and emergency contacts.
I'm going to give us 7 Zed words. We don't have like a huge support network in Vermont, and I think that is a huge drawback. And we don't have very good communication other than societally implemented things like phones.
Yeah.
And mailboxes.
Are you ready for criteria number 3?
Yeah, hit me with number 3.
Stay informed. Be aware of potential risks and stay informed through reliable sources, aka not thecomingattack.net, not Fox News, not what else, Dan?
I will say that there is value in looking at those sources to know how crazy everyone else around you is going to be.
Yes. Yes.
Which is why I pay attention to them.
Also follow local news and government announcements. How prepared do you think we are?
Oh, I think I personally am pretty prepared. I'm going to give myself a 9. I stay very informed.
Of local news?
I dabble in local news. There just happens to not be very much of it.
I don't know. There's been some interesting stuff. I got local news.
Well, I was all over thecomingattack.net and I did not find anything about our space, our place in Vermont.
Usually the news is things like bobcat, rabid bobcat runs into person's house to try and eat them. Person manages to lock bobcat in bathroom.
A white woman came along and immediately adopted it. Now they live together. His name is Sam.
Yep.
There's a
Sam the rabid bobcat.
There's a TikTok/YouTube channel called White Women Comedy, and it's this guy, and he reacts to videos of white women saving wild animals that are dangerous, and then just treating them like their own children. Loves it. It's hilarious.
That is wonderful. It is very funny. I enjoy it, but also I feel a little bit called out. A little bit. As a person who's identified as female by most people, I am also white, and I was socialized to be female, and I do really love Annie Malley's.
Yeah. So, I think between us, I think you've got your ear to the ground for more local things, and I have my ear to the ground for the national and wider range regional news.
I feel like I'm like scoped out all the way out to international and then local.
Yeah.
And then I somehow like just...
And you're like, who's George Santos?
Yeah. Like when Henry Kissinger died, I was like, who the fuck is that? And then I was like, oh, he was the guy who organized a bunch of coups against socialist, democratically elected leaders of countries in South America. I knew about that. I just didn't know it was he and that guy who did it. Piece of shit, Henry Kissinger.
Rolling out all the hits, that guy.
Not my favorite person. But I didn't even know his name. Now I do. Vaccinate is number 4.
Oh. You know, I wasn't always the best at this. You know, I've always had like a really strong immune system. So like when people are like, get your flu shot, I'm like, I don't need a flu shot. I fight all of those flus with this body. Look at me. I'm a pillar of health. I say as I drink 50 beers and eat nothing but meat all day.
When was this?
Oh, many years ago.
Okay.
But, you know, COVID really turned things around for me. And I'm like, oh, my God, there is a virus out there that can kill me.
Yeah.
and now, like, every year I get that flu virus vaccine. I get every COVID vaccine that comes. Leah helps a lot because she's like, there's a new one. And I'm like, well, I didn't hear about that on comingattack.net. So
let's stop promoting. I don't even know if that website still exists. The only reason I knew it existed is because my ex-mother-in-law was obsessed with it and was really convinced that Obama was going to put us all in FEMA camps.
And he
and
did.
Never give away the presidency. He was just going to take
that's
it.
That's what the tan suit was about. He put on a special suit, and that's when we all went to the FEMA camps. Don't you remember?
I don't.
It's because you had the COVID vaccine and you forgot.
Oh, my God. QAnon's right. So, where would you put us on the Zeds for this?
Oh, we're pretty good.
I don't think we're a 10.
I think I'm a 10.
Because I'm a little bit delayed. How are you a 10 when I'm the one who's like, damn, we need to get vaccinated?
I've got a smallpox vaccine. I've got a polio vaccine.
So do I.
I've
been vaccinated for polio twice.
I was vaccinated for anthrax 18 times.
Damn.
Because they kept on losing my paperwork.
Oh.
They did.
Ah, it's also described in thecomingattack.net.
Yeah. And you know what? You're only supposed to get like 6 of those vaccinations. It's a process. You go like every month for 6 months. And right around the fifth month, they're like, we don't have anything for you.
What the fuck?
You got to start the process over again. And by 18, I was just like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Oh, that's wild. I definitely not had anthrax, but I've had, I don't even know the things I've had because I've traveled internationally. I know I've had a bunch of stuff that most people don't get. And I've had polio twice because when I was in Namibia, there was a mysterious outbreak and nobody knew what it was at first. They were just like flu-like symptoms. Then you become paralyzed in 24 hours and die. And I was like, oh my God. My mom, who was terrified of me being overseas, like really freaked out and had a lot of racist ideas about Africa in general, didn't know anything about Namibia, was like freaking the fuck out, calling me on my little international phone, making sure that I wasn't anywhere where this was spreading, which I wasn't because I had access to sanitation.
Yeah. And even if you were, what are you going to do? Run away?
But also, turns out it was polio, something that is basically eradicated in the United States.
There's a cloud of polio coming your way, Leah. You've got to hunker down.
Polio is because of it's spread partly through fecal matter. So, like, it's a lot to do with hygiene. And when you don't have access to hygiene, then you're much more. So, of course, it was basically happening in places like Katatura, which was a slum village in Windhoek, the capital of the country, and other places like that where people were really suffering. But I remember because it really, I think, indelibly etched into me why vaccines are important. Because once I knew what it was, the level of relief that I had was huge. I was like, oh, I'm okay. Like on both many levels. One, I have all the privileges of living in a home in Namibia that has everything I need, running water, a toilet, a fridge, et cetera. And then two, I'm vaccinated. So I know that I'm okay. And that's a really fucked up thing to realize when I'm already like grappling with all of the privilege disparities I was experiencing when I was there and realizing I probably shouldn't even be there doing the thing I was doing. P.S. If you're thinking about going on things like mission trips, volunteer work to do development stuff overseas, like build a school, I really urge you to read a little bit more about that or like check out the Instagram page, No White Saviors. There's a real problem with that whole industry. Which is not the point of this podcast. So if you're interested, DM us. I'll chat with you about it all day. Why I don't think we should do that.
A few years ago, I donated $35 to a young boy that wanted to go on a mission to
Africa. Really fucking upset.
I got a holographic image of a wolf howling at the moon that hurts Leah's eyes. And I gave it to her and I said, this is for you. And she said, that's great, Dan. This is
awful. It was awful on many levels.
Yeah.
It was hard to look at.
He really tugged at my heartstrings and I didn't know how to get rid of him other than giving him $35 for a stupid wolf.
If I had been there, me and that kid would have had quite a conversation. And not because I would judge him because I've been that kid.
Yeah.
You know, but I would be like, hey, like I've done what you're about to do. Not an actual mission trip, but I've been to Jamaica as a volunteer. And then I went to Namibia doing research on HIV/AIDS. Which was interesting because that was where the polio outbreak happened. But my point is like, I realized pretty quickly how fucked up it was that I was there and how much that money could have gone to a local person doing the work who'd understand everything so much better because of their culture. This is going way off track. Yeah. Brief polio story, and then I'll move on because this is a fun one. So they didn't believe me that I had a polio vaccine, and the World Health Organization rolled out a universal vaccination campaign for polio, and it was an oral vaccine, which means it lives in your gut for like 6 weeks, which means you can't leave the country while it's still alive in your gut, which I don't really understand, but that was the case. And they forced me to take it. And the only way that they knew if people had it or not is they like put iodine on your thumb after you got it. So I didn't have iodine in my thumb and I didn't have my vaccination records on me that day at the university. So they're like, you're getting it. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm not leaving the country if I want to. But that was, I think, prepared me for COVID and why vaccines are really important.
Well, I think I rank pretty high on this. I'm pretty sure if a zombie bit me, the zombie would fall over. Let's move on.
10. We'll give ourselves 10. Why not?
Yeah.
Clearly like vaccines over here. Secure your home. Reinforce doors and windows for general emergency preparedness. Consider the safety of your shelter.
Okay. We have a few glass doors, which I think gives us some points off. But we do have ways to jam the doors from opening.
Yep.
We have good solid deadbolts on our front door. Don't give me that look.
I'm wondering if you're saying that just because this is going to be on like publicly aired. We do not have a good deadbolt on our front door.
Yeah, we do.
No, we don't. We have a simple flip lock. We're supposed to also have a deadbolt, which we never actually installed.
You're right. And I don't know why I always thought that we did have a deadbolt. We have nothing. I can open our front door with a credit card. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But we are armed, so don't come after us, or else you'll never be around and ever again.
Yeah, that's Dan's fault. I bought my first shotgun because of the COVID outbreak and people were getting weird.
Yeah. We were kind of like in a downtownish part of a medium-sized city. Is Augusta a medium-sized city? I'd say so. Mm-hmm. And my fear was that things were going to become kind of a hot zone of craziness.
Without government intervention like there was, I think it would have been.
Yeah, like downtown Augusta has seen riots before.
Yes.
And I wouldn't...
For good racial reasons.
Yeah. And you know, I don't necessarily want to make people dead, but I also don't want to be dead.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because I did own guns at the time, but they were in New York and I couldn't go get them. Mm. they were not available to me at the time. So we're like, well, let's go buy one then. And we bought a shotgun wearing face masks.
Not even like real face masks yet, because we weren't supposed to get them back then because they wanted the first responders to have protection. It was like, you know, yeah, I was using bandanas. Like my buff that I usually put in my hair, like over my nose, which I'm sure did nothing but looked badass.
Yeah, we did look pretty badass when we showed up to that Walmart and we were like, we want a gun. Don't worry about what our faces
and
look
then it
like.
It took 3 days for me to get it because I'm not a citizen of this country.
Yeah,
but I got one. It's not a thing that I love having in the house, but I also understand that we live in a place where almost everybody has a gun and it's kind of has to be this like weird equalizing thing. So
yeah,
it's what it is. We've got one.
You know, I think a lot of people that buy guns for self-defense, they imagine the scenario where people come into their house to steal their things. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid of that. I feel like if you break into my house and you want the TV, you can just fucking have it. It's planned obsolescence anyway. Our Roku piece of shit. You can have it. We want a new one. We'll just call the insurance people after you've left and say that it was stolen, and they'll give us like a check for $1,000. We'll go buy another TV. It'll be fine. The thing that I worry about is all the crazy white people in Claremont that are like, the comingattack.net told me that things are going on at this house, and I'm not standing for it. These people with their rainbow flags need to go.
It's true.
And those people, I'm going to splatter all over the front yard if they come to our house.
And it was useful when we were trying to drive away a rabid Fisher cat.
Yeah. Well, I used my .22 for that.
Oh, I don't know.
You're like, that wasn't loud at all. I'm like, it was a .22.
I don't know how loud. I don't know anything about guns, even though my grandfather was a hunter and a trapper and we had a bunch of antique guns that my dad left in the trunk of the car I was driving as a teenager for like months. I had no idea they were in there. I'm glad that I never got pulled over. But they were antique. I'm not even sure if they worked. So how would you rate us then, Dan? I don't think very highly. I think like a four. Six. You notice that I'm a much harsher rater than you.
Yeah. Well, we also have a lot of good choke points and we have good preparedness for when that happens. We also put a bell on our door. So
that's true. That's to get rid of all the bad spirits. Because I believe in magic.
And that counts.
Okay.
The spirits. We're trying to keep those out too.
We are actually very fortified for negative vibes. Let's meet in the middle and say a five.
Okay.
Yeah. If zombies were negative vibes, we got this.
Yeah.
Number six, training and drills. Practice emergency scenarios with your family. Ensure everyone knows what to do in various situations. I don't think we're prepared in this one.
You don't think so?
I don't think we practice emergency scenarios.
Well, I guess I have, and it's drilled into me. So it's just always there. But yeah, I guess you're right. Like, I mean, I feel like I'd react pretty quickly if like the stove caught on fire.
Yeah, I would probably react quickly, but that doesn't... I think we need to get another fire extinguisher sidebar.
We probably do.
I do. I'm going to write that down. Fire extinguisher.
But what would you do if the fire extinguisher was empty and our stove was on fire?
I would grab a blanket.
Okay. That's not
bad.
And
that would kill the fire, remove the air.
We also have baking soda.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can pour baking soda and smother it that way. That's also cool. You can just put a lid on it sometime.
The baking soda is above the stove. We should move that if there's a fire, because that's going to be a problem to try and get to. True. But I will say, like, again, you're probably a 10. I'm probably a 5 because the last drill I did was like a fire drill in elementary school or high school.
I'll give myself a 9 because, like, you know, I'm not as mobile as I was when I was in my 20s. So, like.
So between the two of us, a 6?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And then last but not least, help your community. Volunteer or assist neighbors in times of need.
1.
Community support is crucial during emergencies. I have the question here for myself, like, would our dogs be welcome?
0.
You think we're 0? I don't think we're 0 anymore.
Yeah.
I've done some, I have some tendrils out in the community now.
Yeah, you do. Well, I don't know. I guess I could call people that I worked with if things were going wrong.
Yeah.
Like if I was like, a tree has crushed our house and nobody's coming to help us. Matt, can I borrow a truck?
Yeah, we could talk to our neighbor. We've got wipe all these names out. I've got my yoga teacher that I'm becoming friends with and her kid who's looking after our dog. I've got my book club, which actually that is our 4th emergency location. We talked about it because, of course, I brought up where we should go if there's an apocalypse
in one of our book clubs.
We decided a specific person's house in the book club that is a reasonable distance from you and I and pretty remote and like you can't see it from the road.
Oh.
So it's a good safe spot.
Yeah, I'd like to know where this place is.
Yeah, I should tell you another time. But so I guess we have 4 emergency spots now. That'd be my 4th one I would go to. So, but like, am I close enough with anybody where I'd feel good about calling them? Probably not. I also have coworkers that I think like do love me. We just don't talk a lot. Yeah. That I'm gonna go see one of them.
Also, we have front porch breakfast. Forum.
A front porch forum. So I'd give us like a 4. I think this is something that I'm actively working on.
Yeah.
But this is what happens when you move to a new state in a pandemic and you're 2 reclusive people who really have to push yourself to socialize. Yeah.
Also, I just had like a brilliant idea of what like front porch forum would look like in a zombie outbreak.
Oh my God, what?
I'm just imagining it. I think it would be hilarious to like mock up. Like a fake front porch forum of like people being like, hey, there's zombies at my front door. Could somebody come by with a shotgun? Does anybody have any bullets I can borrow? All I've got is birdshot.
I mean, it was really active during all the floods.
Yeah.
And people were helping each other. So we got 49 out of 70 points, which is a solid C. It's 70%.
C's get degrees.
C's. I mean, we'd be okay for a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I'll take it.
Not bad.
I'll take it.
We'll survive for a couple days.
Yeah. Well, Dan, I'm curious how many Zeds you would give this guide from the CDC based on our discussion today and the story.
I don't know. You know, I'm going to give it a solid 7 Zed words.
7 Zed words.
It was informative. It did the purpose of what it was trying to do, which was to engage people and to inform them of how to be prepared for something and made it fun. And, you know, it's something that 12 years later, we're still talking about and still comes up trending on the internet from time to time. And people still think it's brand new every time it trends.
Me.
Yeah, me too. And the only thing that I would really give it a negative mark for is I think it should have been written better. And They missed an opportunity by not opening this up as a potential series.
That could be super fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't cover all the things you need to know in an emergency scenario. If they want to come back and do more emergency tips, they could have just picked up where they left off at the school that they were all hiding in from the zombies.
Yeah.
And then episode 2 comes out and we learn about how to purify dirty water.
Yeah, but instead, it was all a dream.
It was all a dream.
That fucking ruined it for me so deeply. Yeah. But I agree. I think there were some issues overall with it, but a 7 out of 10 sounds good. And the truth is, this is scientifically proven, unlike the Stone Age theory, that the best way that people learn is 1 of 2 things, through stories or through doing it.
Yeah.
Plain old facts like, are boring. Those are the sprinkles on your donut, I was told once by a communications trainer, is your like facts and statistics. You have to have a good story to go along with your sprinkles, which is the donut, right? Yeah. Nobody's just eating. I mean, I guess maybe some people are just eating sprinkles. I like sprinkles, but the point is that
I've
a story.
Eaten handfuls of sprinkles
and as I was
before.
Reading it, like I could pick out, I was like, oh yeah, I don't think we're prepared for the dogs, and that's a problem. So I'm grateful to it, even if it's racist, sexist, and needs a lot of work, but I'll take it.
Yeah. And you know what? For 2011, it ain't bad.
I don't know. I'm not going to give it that pass. But I will say that, like, I am walking away from this being like, there's like, from this conversation, I think there's some things you and I should start working on and doing. And the thing that stops me, frankly, is money. Cause I'm like, I don't want to spend a fucking bunch of money on getting all this shit, but we could just like get one thing a month and then also work on compiling it. I just don't want to call it a bug out bag because I think it sounds stupid. Can we call it something more fun?
There's you can call it a go bag.
That's too dumb too.
Some people call it a go to hell bag. Some people call it there's all kinds of bags.
Can we just call it our zombie bag?
We can call it our zombie bag.
Oh my God, that's what it is.
Yeah. And we have a zombie bag. It's where I actually bought survival gear this week at the dollar store. I bought emergency candles. Mm-hmm. Plus an unscented candle that wasn't an emergency candle, but it was just a bigger candle that was a little bit nicer. And I bought a few other things that I don't recall what they were.
But we have them and they're in a bag.
Oh, batteries for our lantern.
Oh my God, that's right. Because last year when we lost our power, we had this lovely lantern, but no batteries.
Yeah, we bought this lantern a couple years ago and we were like, this is going to be great. It's rechargeable. What it actually is a lantern that you could upgrade with a rechargeable battery that you plug in via USB, but takes D cell batteries unless you do that modification.
Yeah.
And we never had D cell batteries. So I bought some shitty dollar store D cell batteries. And those will last about 20 minutes.
Yeah. Why are we buying cheap? What's with you and cheap batteries?
I was at the dollar store. It's all I could get.
Better batteries.
They had Energizer, but they only had AAA Energizers. Everything else was dollar store brand.
Missed opportunity.
And I'm like, why do they have like several shelves of AAA Energizer batteries? Did Energizer stop making different size batteries?
These are the existential questions that a philosopher thinks about.
Yeah.
But well, here's what I do know is that I want to know what your survival preparedness rating is. You've just listened to this episode. You could even go back and score yourself for each of the seven categories.
Yeah.
Dan and I are a solid C.
You can look it up on the CDC website and follow that guide.
Put that in the show notes.
It'll be in the show notes along with our link tree.
It's true. Well, these things I just read for you are from ChatGPT, actually.
Oh.
But they were, I was like, what are all the lessons of the Zombie Survival Guide?
Okay. So this guide you will only find here on this podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or you could probably ask the exact same question to ChatGPT and hopefully get the same answer.
You won't.
But regardless, I'm going to post some of these questions on Instagram for fun in our stories just to see how people answer and what they think about it. And if I'm just going to check, first of all, if you've seen the CDC preparedness guide for zombies, and we'll go from there. So look out for that on the internets. Also, 2 weeks from the airing of this episode is episode 25, our last episode of 2023.
Yeah.
The first year. So it's going to be a little bit of celebration for us. Didn't mean for it to be exactly 25 episodes, but it's a hallmark.
It is a
milestone.
It is the Hallmark store.
What does Hallmark actually mean?
I don't know.
I'm going to say milestone. It's a big moment for us. It's going to be
a landmark.
A landmark. That's the world word. God, I can't talk. Episode for us and the book we're going to be reading. And Dan and I have actually finished and are pretty much ready to record is Clay's Ark by Octavia Butler.
This book is spicy.
Yeah, it's real spicy. In fact, trigger warning, sexual assault.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to read that, then you might want to skip this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. If you get triggered by those things, like, I mean, we're not going to describe it in detail, but we're going to talk about
it. Yeah. I don't know how much of the episode it will take up because it doesn't really happen till the end, but it'll be part of the discussion for sure. Overall, I loved it. Dan has different feelings. It's going to be a contentious discussion. It's an extraterrestrial zombie story. So make sure to listen. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't yet. Please rate and review us. We love to read your reviews. They're super fun. Thank you, everyone who's done that. And hope to see you on the Instagrams and the threads.
Yeah, I'll be on threads. Say hi.
I'll be on Instagram. That's how this usually goes.
Yeah, and then sometimes we flip-flop.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Stay safe.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
1 gallon of water per day, but we don't know how many days.
All the days, forever.
Every 365
for the rest of your
gallons.
Life.
Yeah.
Fill your house entirely with water. Thanks for
just
listening.
Just make it a swimming pool. There we go. Bye, y'all.
Bye, everybody. Don't get bit.
But if you do get bit,
bite your dog.
Spread it. Spread the virus.
Yeah. Spread it to your dog.
Yeah. Spread it to 21 people. That's what you can do. You can share this podcast with 21 other people.
Yeah. Spread it to 21 people like a virus.
Yes.
Bye. All right.
Bye.